मुखम करोति वाचालम् पंगुम लंघयते गिरिम् यत्कृपातम् वंदे श्री गुरु दीनतारिणम् परमानंद माधवम् श्री चैतन्य ईश्वरम्। So please repeat, we'll offer prayers to Bhaktivinoda Thakur and then we'll start with today's session. Namo Bhakti Vinodaya, Sachidananda, Namo Bhakti Vinodaya, Sachidananda Vigrahe,
Sachidananda Vigrahe,
Gaura Shakti Swarupaya,
Gaura Shakti Swarupaya,
Rupanugavarayate,
Rupanugavarayate.
I offer my humble obeisances to Bhaktivinoda Thakur. Namo Bhakti Vinodaya, Sachidananda Namine, who has got this title of Sachidananda. Gaura Shakti Swarupaya, you are actually the manifestation of the energy or the power of Sri Gauranga Mahaprabhu. Rupanugavarayate, the follower of Rupa Goswami. I pay my repeated obeisances to Bhakti Vinod Thakur. This is what it means. So talking few more things about Bhakti Vinod Thakur. So, for your information, Bhaktivinoda Thakur would sleep for 2 to max 3 hours. He was the district magistrate. He had 10 kids, one wife. And his job was hectic, like all of y'all, like the way y'all are working. Even his job was very, very hectic, because Britishers literally trusted him a lot. And then all the cases which were there were got to him. And Bhaktivinoda Thakur was such an empowered personality that a case which should take good number of months, he would solve in few seconds. He would give justice. He would give, what do you call it as? What does a judge give? Anyone? Judgment. Okay, we'll call it a judgment. No, so he will give judgment immediately, just as I say. He just look at both the personalities, and then he would just talk to them, ask different questions, and he will hear, and immediately in few seconds after that he would give the judgment, and that judgment would be perfect to such an extent that Britishers saw that how what do you call it as competent, how competent this person is, and they trusted him so much that when Bhaktivinoda Thakur said that I want to give up this job because it's too hectic, at that time the Britishers said, don't worry, we will lay a railway track from your house to the office. So a railway track was laid from the house of Bhaktivinoda Thakur to the office of Bhaktivinoda Thakur, and in that steam engine or coal engine or whatever, only he was the person who was going. Can you imagine? Bolo ki kaun si company, aapki company karegi aise? Even if you're competent, even if you're really great, working day and night together, will your company lay a railway track, say from Simantadweep base, and it goes to Belandur or it goes to ITPL or wherever? But look at the competence of Bhaktivinoda Thakur. So when it comes to our acharyas, they were not sentimentalists. They were not uneducated. They were not fools. They were much, much better than us. Even when it comes to material competence, I'm talking about. Really great. Really great. And then when it comes to his work, he would do it very, very nicely. But when it comes to his sadhana, he would be fired up 10 times more than what work he would be doing. So this is completely different when it comes to us. We work 10 times and just one part of it would do sadhana. But he would be working like one part of his work and 10 parts would be sadhana. That's how he'd be spending his entire day. And what all things he would be doing? He would be writing songs for all of us. Intense songs. So I was going crazy when I was reading these songs and singing them. Intense songs. No song which Bhaktivinoda Thakur has written is just like that. Just dicey or just chalta hai types. No, every song is intense. It is exactly meant for sadhakas like us. Exactly. No, it's actually meant for us. It's a medicine for all of us. And then he would be writing books also, commentaries on various Shastra. And then, he would be contemplating and arguing with himself. And what was that argument? He would post a question to himself. Say, suppose a Mayavadi comes and tells me like this, what would be my answer? Then he would give the answer. So like this, to and fro, he would keep walking and he would keep doing that for at least 1 or 2 hours. And then when it comes to chanting, he would be chanting 64 rounds. So in the house of Bhaktivinoda Thakur and Godrum Dweep. So in Godrum Dweep, in the house of Bhaktivinoda Thakur, there is a small room where Bhaktivinoda Thakur would enter that room. And that room will not have any window or anything. There was only a small entrance to it. He would go inside, he would close that entrance also. And inside he would be there for a good number of hours till he completes his 64 rounds, 64 plus rounds or whatever. And it's described, even in that room, he would put cotton and he would put a cloth on the face and he would chant. How much intense the chanting would be. Don't think that he would get tired, so he'll go inside and sleep. He would be intensely chanting. This is Bhaktivinoda Thakur. This is Bhaktivinoda Thakur. And Bhaktivinoda Thakur is an eternal maid servant of Srimati Radharani, also in the spiritual world. So this is Bhaktivinoda Thakur. Now when we are reading the song of Bhaktivinoda Thakur, we have to understand who has written the song. For that reason, I described all this. Who has written this song? And this personality who is writing this song is not a jobless person. He's a person with a really very high stature job. And he was also in the family life having 10 kids. And he has to maintain the 10 kids. And he took care of them so nicely that most of them became sannyasis. And few of them got married. And one of them was Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur, Prabhupada's guru, whose name was Vimala Prasad in his childhood. So with this prerequisite, with this preparation of consciousness, let's go to the song now. So please refer, it is there in the chat box. It's a very difficult tune to sing, but I'm not a good singer, still we'll try. So I'll sing first and then you all can repeat. Gopina Amara Upayana, Gopina Amara Upayana, Tumi Kripa Kori Amare Loile Samsare Udhar Paaye. Tumi Kripa Kori Amare Loile Samsare Udhar Paaye. So he's praying. It's a very first verse itself is a clean, bold verse. So he says, Gopinath, O Gopinath, Amaro Upay Nahi. The initial verse itself is saying, I have no other way. I have no other way. And I have no other means of success. Amara Upay Nahi. Tumi Kripa Kori, you shower your mercy. I have no other way. So I'm approaching you, O Gopinath. So Tumi Kripa Kori, you shower your mercy. And do what? Amare Loile. Now take me. From where? From this samsara. Only you, O Gopinath, only you can deliver me from this clutches of birth and death, from this samsara. No one else can deliver me from this world. I'm just drowning in this world. Samsara basically means the cycle of birth and death. That is samsara. In fact, one of my Tamil students, he was saying that in Tamil, samsara means wife. So he posted that in the chat box. I didn't comment anything on that. In mind, I was thinking, yeah, she is the one. She is the one who is responsible. So this is very clear in this verse that this samsara, which we all are stuck in, it's like a vast ocean and the waves are tossing us from one end to another end. This is what the waves are doing. And without the mercy of their lordships, no one can cross this samsara. Not possible. This samsara is so critical, and it's so dangerous. So Prabhupada calls as dangerous material existence. The line that he uses, a phrase that he uses, is dangerous material existence. It's really very difficult. Very difficult. In fact, it's described that anyone who tries to cross the samsara also, suppose, you know, in the ocean, that person is trying to go towards the shore of the ocean, he's pulled back by the waves again and again and again. This is what is our situation. We are there in the samsara from so many lifetimes. So many lifetimes. Birth, death, birth, death, birth, death. This is what we are playing in this world. And when we try to come out of it, it's not the first time that we're practicing bhakti, for your information. It's not the first time we all are practicing bhakti. Many, many lifetimes we have tried. Many lifetimes we have started, we have given up. We have started, we have given up. We have not completed. If we would have completed, then we would have not been here in the Zoom class. We would have been there in Goloka. So we have not completed this path that we have started. So why? Because samsara is so dangerous and it is so difficult to cross. It is so difficult to cross that even when the person tries crossing, he's pulled down again and again, or pulled back again and again, or pushed back again and again by various agents around. So when it comes to the three kleshas, the sufferings caused by body and mind, the sufferings caused by other living entities, the sufferings caused by the daiva, this itself is enough for a person to put him out of bhakti. Now, there are so many devotees who start bhakti, but then as soon as there is some health problem, some psychological issue, some issue by people around, or some issue that is caused by daiva, people get out of bhakti. They don't sustain. And like this, anyone who is there in samsara, it is so, anyone who is there in samsara, coming out of samsara is very, very difficult. So Krishna says in Bhagavad Gita 7.3, Manushyanam sahasreshu kaschid yatati siddhaye, yatatam api siddhanam kaschin mam veti tatvatah. He is saying that many sahasra manusha are there, and out of that few endeavor for success, few achieve success, and actually one comes back to me. Or one understands me in truth. In the same chapter, he says, Bahunam janmanam ante jnanavan mam prapadyate vasudeva sarmamiti sa mahatma sudurlabha. That person who understands that Krishna is Supreme Personality of Godhead, and one who surrenders to Supreme Personality of Godhead, such a person is sudurlabha. Durlabha means rare. And su is added to that. It's sudurlabha, very rare. Very rare. So who can cross the samsara? Very, very few people can cross the samsara. Very few people. In our Bhakti Shastri class, one devotee asks this question. So he asks the question that one or the other day, you know, all the living entities will go back home. So what will happen to this world? This was the question that was posted. A very nice answer was given by the teacher. So he was saying that, see, we are assuming that the frequency of people going from here is very high. But it's not the case. Very rarely someone crosses the samsara. Very rarely. And if someone is trying by himself, you know, then we'll understand. When we read Bhagavatam, we understand how difficult it is to cross this samsara. So let's consider the universe. Let me get some technicalities here, because you people like technical subjects. So universe. So anda is called as Brahmanda. So let's consider this as a universe. Now, 10 times the diameter of this universe, there is a first layer that is there. So that is water, the layer of water. And then there is another layer after that. Then the layer of fire. Now, the width of that layer is 10 times that of the layer of water. And the width of the water is what? The water layer is 10 times the diameter of the entire universe, or the width of the entire universe. And then after fire, earth, water, fire, then we have ether, air, then we have ether. Yes. So like this, can you imagine how great? And then after that, we have false ego layer. Now tell me, who can cross this? Who can cross this? Only when we are picked from here and directly taken back home, back to God, it is possible for us to go back home. Or else, humse na ho payega. हमसे ना हो पाएगा, not possible. खुद से ये संसार से निकलना मुश्किल ही नहीं, ना मुमकिन है. Not possible. So here Bhaktivinoda Thakur is saying that Amara Upayanai, I don't have any other way. I can not get success in any ways. Amara Upayanai, Tumi Kripa Kori. So you shower your mercy. Tumi Kripa Kori. And what to do? Tumi Kripa Kori, Amai Loile. You pick me up from here. The way you picked up Gajendra, the way you helped Draupadi, the way you helped other devotees, you help me also. Amare Loile, please take me from here. Only when you take me from here, at that time, Samsare Uddhara Pai. Then actually I can be delivered from this world. I'll obtain deliverance from this world. Then I'll break the cycle of birth. Naito mutse to kuch nahi. That's what he's saying. So let's sing this again. Now you all know what is the mood of the verse. Gopinath Amara Upayana.
Gopinath
Amara Upayana. Tumi Kripa Kori Amare Loile. Samsare Uddhar Pai. Tumi Kripa Kori
Amare Loile. Samsare Uddhar Pai.
Tumi Kripa Kori Amare Loile. Samsare Uddhar Pai. Pakori amare loile samsarae udharapa. Now let's go to a more intense verse. Next. Verse 2. Then he says, okay, before that, can you please write down the names of who all are there in this so that I'm maintaining attendance sheet so that I know who all are attending. If you ask some question and if you're not attending the session, then I can send you the audio. And also, if you're not attending the session for a long time, then you can get nice ratings also. So I'm maintaining a sheet for that. Okay, next. Gopinath Porichi Mayara Pere. Gopinath Porichi Mayara Pere. Dhanadara Suta Gireche Amare. Kame Tere Kheche Jere. Dhanadara Suta Gireche Amare. Kame Tere Kheche Jere. This is another intense verse. So since all unmarried people are there, we can discuss. Oh Gopinath, look at my state. Porichi Mayara Phere. I have fallen. Now Mayara Phere, basically you can think of a what is that? A place where there are lots of currents of water and then you just get inside and you just drown inside it. What do you call that as? Anyone knows? Black hole? No, not black hole. What's that? You got it, what I'm saying? No, like walls of water and then no, if you just enter that water, you just get inside.
Suli.
Cyclone? A cyclone? Suli, okay, but in English, whirlpool. Whirlpool. Huh, theek hai, whirlpool, yes. So, you can think of a whirlpool. So, that's what is our current situation. So, this is like a whirlpool and this whirlpool is Maya's whirlpool. And we are just fallen into that. Porichi Mayara Phere. We are just fallen into that whirlpool. And what does this whirlpool consist of? Dhana, Dara, Suta. Dhana basically means wealth. Dara means wife. And Suta means kids. And here Bhaktivinoda Thakur is saying that Dhana, Dara, Suta, Ghireche Amare. They are all surrounding me. And then Kamete Rekheche Jere. This karma, this lust which is there within me, this lust is just carrying me away, you know, just wasting my life. Just wasting my life. This is a very nice thing to understand. I was just meditating on this, the power of Maya. It's not that we don't know that this world is temporary. It's not that we don't know. Even if you talk to a materialist, when he loses something and he's really sad, then finally he says, "Arey, ye to sab moh maya hai." Even a materialist says that. A person who has not attended the Gita class, no, has not read Bhagavad Gita, Bhagavatam, even that person says, "Ye to moh maya, everything is moh maya." Even he says that. So it's not that people don't know, people know. But the Shakti, the Maya Shakti is so strong, the illusory potency is so strong that she binds everyone, literally binds everyone. Even when, when there are lots of problem in the family and lots of trouble in the family, still the person would like to be in the same family. He would not like to come out of it. It's almost like that Fevikwik or Fevicol. What is that, Jod? It is there, no? Some advertise. Which says jod kabhi khulega nahi ya tootega nahi or whatever. So that is the tight bonding that comes. And this tight bonding starts with the wife. So once there's a physical relationship, you know, between the male and female, so the tight bonding, it's not physical tight bonding, it's the tight bonding within the heart that is called as the knot. That is called as the knot. Bandhan. In Sanskrit it's called as bandhan. So that is the bandhan. And that bandhan becomes even more strong when a suta comes, that is a son or a kid is born. And now to take care of them, money is needed. Then the money comes, or before that only money is there. So that money becomes even more important, like when a person is a bachelor. So, you know, just spending money is okay. You know, they just spend money. But as soon as they get married, oh, they are very, very, very cautious where they are spending money and things like that. So this entire material setup which is there, you know, it is just Maya's game and nothing else. And she wants the person to be in this material world. So she just puts the person in the material world like this. Okay, the ones who are aspiring for Grihastha Ashram, please don't take the negative aspect of it. When you are a very nice fixed up devotee and when you pull your entire family to the higher consciousness, then the things are much better. Not completely good, but much better. Yes, so that will be much better. It will not be the way it is there for the materialists. And then he says, Kamete rekheche jere. So this lusty desires which are there in my heart, this hankering to do sense gratification is so strong within. You know, it is just wasting my entire life. It's just wasting my entire life. So in this entire verse, you know, what we can relate to our life is that we all are stuck. We all are stuck. As of now, we might not be having Dhana, Dara and Suta, but some equivalents are there around, you know, which we are attached to. We all are stuck to something or the other. For a brahmachari, nothing is there, but a brahmachari is attached to his kopin. Undergarment. So whatever is there with us, we'll get attached to that. That's for sure. So whatever is there around, we get attached to that. And this attachment actually pulls us down, and the hankering which is there in the heart to enjoy the things around which we're attached to is so strong that our life gets wasted. It literally gets wasted. Now you can analyze how every single day we are wasting our life. Every single day, this is what happens. The things which are there around which we're attached to, we have that hankering or desire to enjoy. We just keep enjoying that and just time goes. Just time goes. We'll never get to know also that, I just started the day. It's already night. I'm supposed to sleep. This is what is happening every single day. I'm not at all feeling that it's 2 weeks that we all have not met. I'm not feeling that last Saturday we met. It's feeling like, you know, maybe a couple of days we just met. So in this way, we see that the time is running. The time is running. And we are stuck. We are there in the whirlpool of Maya. Even if we desire to come out, it's very difficult to come out. Very difficult to come out. Like for example, suppose you decide, nahi, aaj se main attach nahi hoonga jo bhi cheez hai baaju mein. Jo bhi cheez surround kar raha hai mujhe, usse main attach nahi hoonga. Aise bolne se thodi hoga, dialogue maane se thodi hota hai. It will not work at all like this. It's very difficult. Very difficult. Because the attachment is not just from this life. The attachment is from so many lifetimes. Aise nahi ki abhi naya naya attachment hua, I got attached to this, attached to that. Have you seen small kids? Right from childhood itself, they've got a nature, a different sort of nature. Right from childhood. Like right from childhood, they've got some likes and dislikes. Personally speaking, right from my childhood, I don't like tomato. I don't know why. Something is there in my past life. So in this way, we see that right from childhood, people have their likes and dislikes. So it goes on to say that this attachment, likes and dislikes means what? Attachment and aversion. So this attachment and aversion is not of this life that we have developed. From so many lifetimes, attachment and aversion is there. And now in this human form, it has become even more strong in this particular human form, because the entire thing around, you know, is, or all these things around are surrounding us. And we all are very much attached to things which are surrounding us. So you can imagine that lots of things are kept around. It's like, you know, I can imagine, because I'm sitting in Sankirtan room. So lots of things are here. So suppose lots of things are kept around. There's no space to go out and you're sitting in between. That is what is our current situation. And then sitting in between, you are not lamenting, oh, what happened? Why am I sitting here? In sitting in midst of all this chaotic setup, you are looking at each and every object around and you're thinking, how can I enjoy this? How can I enjoy this? How can I enjoy this? The entire life goes in this. And the time just goes on and on and on and on, and done. Finally, we take last breath and leave our life. That's what Bhaktivinoda Thakur is praying. Gopinath, porichi maya ra phere. You know, I've fallen here. And then he's mentioning, being very humble, he's mentioning dhana dara suta. So when we say dhana dara suta, it also means everything associated with them. Gire che amare, they're surrounding me. Kamete rekhe che jere, and the tendency to enjoy all these things is actually wasting my life. This is what this verse says. Now we all know this verse. Let's sing with internal mood, and also meditate on how, what all things are actually surrounding us and what all things we are attached to. Gopina porichi maya ra phere, Gopina porichi maya ra धनदार सुत घिर छे हमारे काम तेरे खेचे जेरे धनदार सुत घिर छे धनदार सुत घिर छे हमारे काम तेरे खेचे जेरे
धनदार सुता हिरे चे आमे काम तेरे खेचे जेरे.
Verse 3. Now, Bhaktivinoda Thakur has talked about the surrounding things. Now, Bhaktivinoda Thakur is focusing on the internal thing. That is about the mana, about the mind. And now he's telling that how mind is actually making me go crazy. All of us can relate to this verse very nicely. You know what Bhaktivinoda Thakur is going to say now. Gopina mana je pagal mora, Gopina mana je
pagal mora,
namame shasana sada achetana vishaye roye che gora,
namame shasana sada achetana vishaye roye che gora.
So in this verse, Bhaktivinoda Thakur is saying, whatever we feel, that's what Bhaktivinoda Thakur is saying. What is he saying? Mana je pagal mora. Mora mana pagal. My mind is crazy. My mind is mad. And then he says, na mane shasana. It does not like any authority. It does not like any authority to be there above it. Sada achetana. Always, always not having any consciousness. Always senseless. Not having any consciousness. And Vishaye royeche ghora. And from time immemorial, this mana has fallen into what? The deep pit of darkness of this material world. And this is so true. You see, mind, how crazy the mind is. I mean, Bhaktivinoda Thakur is saying that mana je pagala mora. So it's very clear that this mind which is there, it's really very, very crazy. It's really very mad. And in Bhagavad Gita, Krishna says, Bandhur atmanastasya yenat naivatmana jitaha. In this particular verse, he says that, this comes in 6th chapter, the mind which is under the control, that is best of friend, and the mind which is not under control is worst of enemy. And currently our minds are not under our control. And since our mind is not under our control, what is happening? It's making us go crazy. Mana je pagala mora. My mind is mad. And mind wants to be independent. See, this is where our independent tendency comes into picture. We don't like any authority. We don't like anyone above us. We don't like instructions at all. So this is not our nature. Our nature as spirit soul, we are constitutionally the servant of Krishna. So that's very clear. So our nature is very clear. We are servants of Krishna. Servant means following the instruction. But when it comes to mind, mind does not like any authority. Mind does not like to take any instructions. No. And sada achetana, always senseless. The thoughts which the mind gives is always senseless. Always senseless. In fact, we see that the mind, it learns or it gets the impressions from the surrounding. So when you look around and something that catches your eyes, that makes an impression on the mind. Like for example, you see a Bollywood movie. I'm not saying you see, no, you saw. Whatever you have seen before. So all that you have seen, or the poster that you see, or the advertisement that you see, or some personality moving around you see. And suppose the eyes actually catch that particular scene. So that makes an impression on the mind. So it is said that we have got 5 knowledge acquiring senses. Eyes, we have nose, then we have mouth, ears and touch. So all these 5 senses, in our Jagrat Avastha, in our conscious state, when we are doing some activity, all these 5 senses will acquire knowledge. Will acquire impressions. Let me put it more clearly now. It acquires impression. Where is this impression stored? It's stored in the subtle body. And it is stored in the subtle body, and with time, even without our notice, suddenly it will pop up from nowhere. Suddenly it will pop up. So in Shastra it is said, sadhu savdhan. A devotee has to be always alert. Always alert. What am I seeing? What am I smelling? What am I eating? What my tongue is tasting? And what am I hearing? And what am I touching? We have to be very, very clear. So for brahmacharis, it is recommended that they shouldn't touch even a small child, small baby. Because the touch of the baby's skin or the texture which is there, that is almost equivalent to the touch or the texture or texture of the female skin. Smooth, right? So it is recommended not to touch. When it comes to brahmachari, that is recommended. So you can imagine touching a small baby itself might create a havoc. If you touch the baby, now what happens, so let's take this example and let's elaborate on this. You're touching a baby, soft skin, yes? And then as soon as you touch the baby's skin and you're feeling that softness, you're feeling that bliss, and naturally, the sense of touch likes to touch soft things. Naturally, it is. Like, for example, when you're having a blanket, which is soft, you feel like taking it over and sleeping very nicely, and it's soft. Or be it a soft cushion or something. You have seen people just, they hug the cushion and they sleep and things like that. I don't know what they think about while hugging, but still. So people like soft things. And that is the reason when some people have cheeks out, people... That's what they do. Because people like soft things. So when, suppose we touch a baby or we touch something soft. So what happens is that soft touch, that particular impression, that particular knowledge goes through the sense of touch, and now it gets imprinted in the subtle body. Now what happens is in the subtle body, there'll be something equivalent to that which will be already existing. Okay. Look at the complication of our existence. And we say we are independent. Look at the complication of our existence. You have touched something and now that goes to the subtle body. And then in the subtle body, there's something equivalent to that you have seen, which was softer. or that, you know, which you have touched before. Now that thing from past, some years back, that will pop up out of nowhere. And then you'll suddenly think, "Arey, kya ho gaya? Now suddenly, why am I getting these thoughts?" This is how it is. In fact, you know, even when it comes to some talks, you know, which people have. In fact, I face a lot of problems like this when Grihastha's talk. So being a Grihastha counselor now, along with the youth counselor. So when I go for Grihastha counseling and then they're speaking, so many things they'll speak, you know. So anyways, I'll not speak all that here. So the wife will say something. My husband told me this. And the husband is like, "No, my wife told me this." And then here they both are talking and my past samskaras are coming out. At that time, I intensely pray to the Lord, "Oh Lord, please save me. This is my service. What should I do? I have to do this service. Please protect me." And yes, Lord helps. And to a very great extent, He helps me most of the time. So even if you are not involved in that particular scene, even if you are not anywhere in that scene, still mind will find something from the past and it will put it forward. Like, for example, now when naturally when a male sees a female, there's natural attraction. Where is this natural attraction coming from? Why do we say it's natural? Bachpan se to kabhi, suppose a person is clean, doodh ka dhula hua, I'm talking about them, not dirty like us. I'm talking about doodh ka dhula hua insaan, jo bachpan se being very innocent, even in the teenage he's innocent. I'm talking about them. Let's take a devotee child who is right from childhood has been a devotee and now he has come to teenage. So even without his notice, how come he gets attracted? I took a teenage session for devotee kids. So I told the kids that, "See, whatever problem you have, you come to me and you talk to me." And then one of the boy, he came, I think 9th standard or 10th standard, and he came and he asked me, "Prabhuji, I want to ask you something." Very innocently he was asking, "Prabhuji, why girls cannot be friends?" "Why girls cannot be friends? No, we'll keep a safe distance, but why cannot girls be friends?" So where is attraction coming from? It's coming from past. It is coming from past. Somewhere it is there, some impression is there in this mind, and then, you know, it just pops up as soon as a person sees a beautiful girl. In this way we see, manaje pagala mora. My mind is pagal and it makes me pagal. And all these Bollywood songs are from Bhaktivinod Thakur songs only. What do you think? Where did they get those lines from? It's from Bhaktivinod Thakur's verses. They're stolen from here. Manaje Pagala Mora, they convert it into Bollywood songs. So here it's very clear that even if we don't want those impressions to pop up, even if we don't want it to pop up, still it will pop up. That's how it is. This material world, that's how it is. Even when we don't want it to come, it will come. So Bhaktivinoda Thakur is saying, "Gopinath." That's how he starts the song. That's how he starts the verse. "Gopinath." And the next thing is, "Na mane shasana." This mind wants to be independent. Because if the mind is not in, if suppose someone else is giving instruction, it means you have to follow. That simple. Now, if you're just following, the mind does not have any option. Like suppose it is said, follow four regulative principles. No meat eating, no illicit sex, no gambling, no intoxication. And suppose a person is addicted to all the four. And you know, someone hears this. No, these regulative principles. No. That person would say, "Namaste. Aayenge, phir se aayenge, baad mein aayenge. Ye aapne jo bola, wo theek hai. Koshish karenge follow karne ka. Lekin abhi to nahi lag raha. Aayenge, thode din baad aayenge." And that thode din will never come. This happened with one of the godbrother of Prabhupada. He went to, I guess, London to preach. So the foreigner, he came and then he said that, "Can you make me a brahmana?" He said, "Okay, I can make you a brahmana. The only thing is you have to follow no meat eating, no gambling, no illicit sex, no intoxication." Immediately, without a delay, that person said, "Impossible." He said, "Impossible. Impossible." While talking about someone else, take our example only. When it comes to us, is it easy? Then suppose our authority gives us an instruction, is it easy to accept immediately and implement? It takes time. First, we'll analyze that, oh, what is told. And then we'll try to get the pros and cons of it. And then the mind will give more disadvantage of following the instruction. Then we'll not follow the instruction. And suppose we follow the instruction also, it feels so much of burden. Arre baap re, instruction de diya. Ye Prabhuji ko kabhi milna hi nahi chahiye, instruction pe instruction dete. Prabhupada ka lecture sunna hi nahi chahiye, instruction pe instruction dete. Why? Who is saying this? It's not we who are saying this. Mind. Mind is saying this because mind wants to be independent. Na mane shasana. Does not like any authority. Mind does not like any authority. So this all of us have to understand. So that is the reason it is said in spiritual life, the first thing that we have to do is accept a spiritual master. Accept an authority. So it is said. Because if the mind takes us for a ride, then how can we actually conquer the mind and practice bhakti? Not possible. So as soon as the person starts practicing bhakti, the first thing that he has to do is surrender onto an authority. And surrender onto authority means what? Take the instruction and implement the instruction. Surrounding means not dandavat. Surrender means not dandavat. Surrender basically means accepting the instruction and implementing the instruction as it is. And you will see this is the most difficult thing. And anyone who is able to do this, that person has achieved success in spiritual life. Anyone who has followed instruction as it is has achieved success in spiritual life. And that's what Narottam Das Thakur is saying. What is that in Guru Puja we sing? Sri Guru Charana Padma Kevala Bhakati Sadma. The next paragraph, he says, Je Prasade Pure Sarva Asha. Guru Mukha Padma Vakya Chitete Kori Aikya. Arana Karoho Mana Asha. So what he's saying, Guru Mukha Padma Vakya Chitete Kori Aikya. And I don't want anything more than this. Arana Karo Mora Asha. I don't want anything more than this. I want those instructions to always remain in my heart and I want to follow those instructions. And then also he makes a point, Narottam Das Thakur is making a very wonderful point there, that he says that just by your mercy, J Prasad, J, let me see that song instead of thinking. Let me quote the direct song what he's saying. Sri Guru Charana Padma. Jahara Prasade Bhai. Jahara Prasade Bhai E Bhava Toriya Jai. Krishna Prapti Hoy. So, Jahara Prasade Bhai, only by the mercy of Sri Guru. Jahara Prasade Bhai E Bhava Toriya Jai. I can actually get rid of this entire samsara. What we just discussed in the first sloka, first verse. Krishna Prapti Hoy. Only by the mercy of Sri Guru, Krishna Prapti will happen. Or else it's not possible. So in this way we see that if Krishna Prapti has to happen, if we have to get rid of the samsara, how this will happen? Guru Mukha Padma Vakya Chitete Kori Aikya. By hearing the instructions of our Guru, spiritual authority, following those instructions as it is, even when mind is saying, don't follow, the first thing, as soon as the instruction is given, the mind would say, this is what is the reaction of the mind. Fir se, one more. This is what. And then we surrender to the mind. I agree. Too much of instructions. Let's not follow this. Enough. Already I'm following so many instructions. One more. Why to follow? And then we end up not following it. But tell me, when the instruction is given by spiritual authority, for whom is he giving? He wants to prove his ego, right? Do this. And then when you do it, he feels very nice. Dekho, I gave the instruction and he's following. He's my slave. He's my servant. For that, the instructions are given. Out of care, out of love, the instruction is given so that the person follows and he gets delivered. But the mind will never allow. Na mane shasana. Mind is such a culprit. It does not like any authority. So spiritualists should understand that this is what is the nature of mind. So I have to accept a spiritual authority and go against the mind and follow the instruction. Anyone who is serious in bhakti should do this. And then he says, sada achetana. Always senseless. Why? Because not accepting the instruction and following whatever it wants, and it will do anything and everything foolish and senseless, useless. Useless ideas the mind will give, useless ideas. And mind will just keep clubbing various things from here and there. Mind will get some 10 years thing back, and it will make a nice flow of thought. And then when that flow of thought comes, and then we just get into that, and we just flow with that. And after some time, when we come back, hey, what was I doing? Dream castle. I was swimming in the ocean of some thoughts, which I don't know where it came from. So it is said senseless. The mind is senseless. Whatever it does only to waste our time and nothing else. Nothing else. And why mind is behaving like this? Vishaye roeche ghora. From many, many lifetimes, this mind has got so much of impression because it was always there in the darkness of this world, always. From time immemorial, it is there in this darkness of this world. And since it's always there in this world of sense gratification, the only thing the mind can think of is sense gratification. And only when a guru enters someone's life, only when some authority, spiritual authority enters someone's life, only by the mercy of that person is picked up from the mode of sense gratification and placed at another place, which is called as bhakti. But still, even when he's on the platform of bhakti, he always keeps looking down at the platform of sense gratification. When will I get chance? When will I get chance? And the spiritual authority says, na. Aur nahi. Aur nahi re baap. Aur nahi karengi abhi. Bas ho gaya. No, we did all the nonsense before. Now I'm not going to do any more nonsensical thing because I want to follow the instructions given to me. Can you imagine such complicated philosophical point about mana? Bhaktivinoda Thakur gives it in 3 lines in this particular verse. So it is said the Vaishnava songs, they are the condensed version of all the Shastra. If you just meditate on these Vaishnava songs, automatically we can understand very complicated philosophies also. Right? So let's meditate on this verse and sing this verse. Gopina manaje pagala mora, Gopina
manaje pagala mora,
namane shasana sada achetana vishaye roeche ghora. Namane shasana chetana vishaye roeche ghora. Namane shasana sada chetana vishaye roeche ghora. Namane shasana
sada chetana vishaye.
Now, after singing these 2 verses, we understand what Bhaktivinoda Thakur means by the first verse. Let's go back to the first verse and sing the first verse again.
Gopina amara upayana, Gopina amara upayana, tumi kripa kori amare loile samsare udhara pa. Tumi kripa kori
amare loile samsare udhara pa.
So after understanding that we have fallen into the whirlpool of Maya, after understanding that how pagal this man is and how it is taking us for a ride, then when we sing back the first verse, Amara Upayanaya, I am not seeing any way. I am fallen into this whirlpool. This mind, how can I control the mind? No. And who are we to control the mind? There Arjuna is saying that Chanchalai Mana Krishna Pramati Balavadridam. He's saying, I can control the wind, I cannot control the mind. And who wants to control the mind? People like us. Arjuna couldn't do. What we will do? How can we control our mind? In fact, Arjuna, being in Dwapar Yuga, he had good samskaras. We are in Kali Yuga, Baba. We are in Kali Yuga. We are in garbage. From many, many lifetimes in this age of Kali Yuga, we are swimming in the garbage. And garbage is filled now in the mind. And now we want to control that mind. Oh, very difficult. We cannot do it. So here comes our helplessness. And here comes our mood of depending on Krishna. Only and only and only when Krishna showers his mercy and he picks us up from this pool of garbage and takes us back home, back to Godhead, we can actually overcome these problems or these miseries that we're currently in. Unless and until he does not do it, we can never ever overcome. Never ever. Not possible. Not possible.